Before we begin our episode, I wanted to give a special shout out to Aiden Retzel. Aiden does an amazing job of giving us feedback, is a big fan of the show, and recommended one of our games for this episode, Rubik's Race. Aiden, thank you so much, man. You're awesome. I hope that your dice rolls roll strong, that your card draws are blessed, and that each one of your experiences at the table are ones to remember forever. And gentlemen, friends and rivals, my name is Jared, and with me is my quick puzzle-solving friend, Faith.
Hello.
Hey, baby girl. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts. All in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we'll be looking at two fast-flying racing games, but not the typical race car kind of racing games, the how quick can you move with your hands and your brain kind of racing games. First up, Rubik's Race, designed by Erno Rubik and Marvin A. Silbermintz, and republished by Spin Masters Limited.
Today, I get to teach you how to play the games. In this game, players race to complete a puzzle. Each player has a 5x5 slide puzzle with one tile missing. At the beginning of each round, the scrambler, a device that looks like a 3x3 grid with plastic cover on and cubes laying in the grid, is shaken. Players then try to make the 3x3 center of the puzzle match the scrambler. You win the game. If you match the pattern in the scrambler, you will be able to take the top and that little glass square in the middle. You will pull that down and that glass square will show you your completed design. You win the game once you pull down the top.
Next up, we'll talk some Match Madness. Designed by Pepe Norsker, artwork created by Carl Malapart, and published by Fox Mind Games.
Be the fastest to recreate with your blocks the pattern shown on the card to win the card. The player with the most cards at the end of the game is the winner. Each player receives a set of 5 pattern blocks numbered 1 to 5. The top card from the deck is flipped, revealing a pattern. All players scramble to match with their blocks the pattern shown on the card. The first player successfully matched the pattern, grabs the card, shows the players that the configuration of their blocks matches the pattern on the card. If the player is correct, they keep the card. A new card is flipped over and another round begins. The game ends when all cards have been collected by the players. The player with the most card wins the game.
Will these games race across the finish line in colorific fashion, or are they doomed to collapse as they slide along the track? Find out as we discuss. Faith.
Yes!
Have you ever been a part of a race?
I have been running around trying to beat different kids as I run around. We run laps to like stretch for a little while, and then we do our like games.
This is in your PE class?
Yes.
Nice. What about at church? You did a race where you had to take a straw and suck a marshmallow.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
They weren't like the races where you have to like run like 200 miles to like get to the finish line.
That's true. That would not be a very fun race.
That wouldn't, it's not like that race. It's like a fun race. Like what Dad just talked about. You suck a straw through your breath and you run with a marshmallow in your straw. And we got to eat a few marshmallows after. It was really fun.
That's awesome.
It's not like the miles race.
Yeah.
You don't have to run 80 miles.
What about, okay, so obviously you like to go fast.
Yes, I do.
What about, do you like working on puzzles?
Yes.
What has been your favorite puzzle that you've ever worked on?
To be honest, the one I really like was my first floor puzzle that I got. It was a world map of not the entire world. It was just America. And I love finding our state and then naming the different states. And a few days ago, I found all of the 13 colonies.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know you're doing a lot of American history right now in school as you wrapped up the school year. So that's really cool that you got to be able to use that. And I'm glad that you like that one. That's awesome.
I also, I really like a princess puzzle that it's like a normal puzzle. It's a princess. It's four princesses.
Which princesses are on there?
Belle, Rapunzel, Cinderella, and Ariel.
Nice.
But the
Very
only
cool.
thing different about it is that it has an extra sparkle on the puzzle itself.
Oh, okay.
If you get the puzzle, you can see a little sign there. But if you don't see the sign, you open the puzzle, take out a piece, rub it, and you can probably feel a bit of roughness. And that's the sparkles.
Okay, very cool. What about one that I know you worked on for a long time that you did over and over again was your glow-in-the-dark space puzzle?
Yeah, I used to do that. I tried to do that last Wednesday. Or maybe it was last Friday. I forgot. And what happened was I was trying to do it. I started on it. I completed the sun. And then Mom told me to go do something else. And then we went to the somewhere. And then when we came back, Mom had cleaned up all the puzzles.
Bummer. Well, maybe you'll get to do it another time.
Yeah, I'm hoping to getting able to doing most of the puzzles I have.
All right, so speaking of puzzles and maybe puzzles that are a little bit more challenging, have you ever done a Rubik's Cube?
You got me a 2x2.
Yeah. So you've been working on that?
Yeah.
Have you completed it yet?
No, I haven't.
Is it really challenging?
Yes. Rubik's Race is too.
That's true.
Yep. Rubik's Race is the same thing, except
what?
For its tiles.
Crazy. I wonder how that question got in there. So I've never completed a Rubik's Cube before.
What?
I know. That's so hard.
But you know how to do a Rubik's Cube.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No.
You helped me solve a bit.
Well, I helped you. I didn't do a very good job, but I tried.
You did try, and you did pretty good.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You should start doing Rubik's Cubes.
Well, maybe I will when I get some downtime and can practice, but...
You never have downtime.
So you're going to keep working on your Rubik's Cube. All right. Well, with that said, let's talk about this game. What do you like about the game Rubik's Race?
Everything!
Everything? Can you tell me something specifically?
I love that you get to use your hands. It's not like a real game where you have these little pawns and you have to move them around. It's like you get to actually use your hands and your brain. It's like your hands and your brain is the same word. Hands, brain. It's the same thing because you have to use it for the same thing. In both of these games, you have to use your brain and your hands. In both of these games, you have to use it for solving and you have to use your hands to figure it around. But literally, if you picture it in your mind and then try to figure out the different pictures, that's basically using mind, hand, brain.
So you really like the real-time aspect of it, that it's not, we don't take turns, we're just moving as fast
as
we can. Okay, right on.
And that, my point is that you get to, in other games, you're not using your hands. You're basically just
What do you do to move the pieces if you're not using your hands?
You pick up your piece and put it somewhere else.
How do you do that without your hands?
You use your hands.
Oh.
But what I'm saying is that there's no place in a game except for this one that I have played that we have had to use our brains and our hands together.
I see. All in real time.
All in real time.
Okay. Very good. So in Rubik's Race, you are sliding around colored squares on a tile board, correct?
Yes.
And you're trying to move them around to get them into the right places. Now, you had to learn a lot of different, tricks and maneuvers to be able to move your pieces to where they could actually go in different spaces, right?
Yeah, like if you have, like you're, like say you're doing a Rubik's Cube right now. Like picture Rubik's Cube in your mind right now. What do you have to do to solve it? You have to get all the pieces into their color order. Like every single side, right?
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to do that if you don't have corners? If nothing in the world had corners, yeah, it'd be very hard to do things.
That's true. So that's very interesting, Faith.
But what my point is that...
What's your point?
You get to use in Rubik's Race all of the corners, and you get to take all of your squares, not like pick them up with your hands, but you
Can only slide them, right?
But you get to like slide them over to your corners so that you get to get them into the right spaces.
That's true.
So okay, my point is that if nothing in the world had corners, we won't be able to play this game.
There are some enlightening facts coming out right now. I appreciate that.
Everything in the entire world needs corners.
True. Very true.
Except for a circle.
So, Faith, alternatively, we have Match Madness, which also thankfully has corners. Otherwise, it would just fall apart.
It would fall apart.
So, with Match Madness, instead of sliding around colored squares, you have rectangles that have different patterns on them. And you're trying to get the patterns lined up with the other four rectangular cubes that you have. That was not correct. But the other rectangular cubes that you have, we're going to go with it and make the right pattern. And so how did you feel about that game?
I think that my best part about that one was you get to flip over a card, and then it's like the card is a hammer and it hits you that you have to...
Wow, that's very violent.
It's like it hits you. It hits you. And you're like ready to win this part. Mm. You want to win this card.
You want it so bad.
You want to have it so bad.
So in Rubik's Race, you've got a shield kind of between the two of you. But
what do you mean by that?
Well, there's the plastic piece in the middle, right? That sits upright between you to where you're not actually able to really focus on what the other person's doing as much.
Yeah.
So with that, but in Match Madness, everybody can see what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
And everybody's flying and trying to flip all their cubes around. And
if you touch your piece, immediately it's like your hand has become an airplane and your other hand is an airport. And the airport's flying all over the place with the airplane trying to get to the airport.
That's incredible. Incredible picture there, Faith. Thank you. So did you prefer the chaos of one over the other? Like, did Rubik's Race feel more like you can stay focused on yours versus seeing Match Madness where everybody's flying around? Or were they both feeling pretty chaotic?
They're both feeling very, very...
Okay. And another piece of that I'm curious about, did it feel intimidating playing against me, who is a lot older?
No, because I think kids are smarter than grown-ups.
Whoa. Okay. So you were up for the challenge.
Yes.
Would you recommend either one of these games to a friend?
I'd tell everybody in the entire world about it if I had to.
About both of them or just one?
Both of them.
You like both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
They're
very
amazing.
Good. Is there anything about either one of the games that you don't like?
No, I pretty much like everything in both of these games. And if you listeners like really want to buy this game,
you'd recommend it?
I'd recommend it because
nice.
I think like it's amazing. It's so fun. And with Rubik's Race, you can set it up anywhere.
Yeah,
because
it's all one case.
It's all one case.
So, okay. So Rubik's Race is more portable.
It's better to pack.
But Match Madness can be played with four players, whereas Rubik's Race can only be played with two, right?
Yes. I'd say it's double. Match Madness has doubled the amount, but I still like both of them.
Okay. So here is the really, really, really hard question. Are you ready?
I am totally ready.
Okay.
Because kids are smarter than grown-ups.
Well, tell me this, kid. Which game Rubik's Race or Match Madness, which one do you like better?
I like Rubik's Race because I get to play against Dada.
Well, you get to do that with both the games.
Yeah, I did. But I like Rubik's Race because it's basically like, it's kind of like, I just get to prove that kids are smarter than grown-ups.
That's hilarious.
I get to prove that kids are smarter than grown-ups because I get to play against Dada.
All right, very good. I mean, you got to do that in Match Madness too, but I hear what you're saying. So, Faith, with that said, Match Madness, do you give it two thumbs down, one thumb down, a sideways thumb, one thumb up, or two thumbs up?
Two thumbs up for both of them.
Whoa, for both games. Very nice. Okay. I will say that I will give Match Madness two thumbs up. I really enjoy Match Madness. I think that it is a lot of fun, and it can be enjoyed by both kids and adults. And I also like that allows for four players instead of just two. And it also adds a fun pattern matching aspect of the game. Obviously, Rubik's Race does a pattern as well, but you're sliding around individual pieces of color instead of two that have to work together. I give Rubik's Race one thumb up. I enjoy the game. I like playing against Faith with Rubik's Race. It was a lot of fun. And I definitely felt smarter about Rubik's Cubes after playing the game, but I still don't know how to do one. But for me, I didn't like that the little pieces would constantly, not constantly, but would occasionally slide off and it would mess up the pattern.
If you're too rough, you could like slam into it on accident.
Yeah, and then it messes up all the pieces. It's also one of those things where if one player is significantly better than the other person, it's hard to have a fair match. And that's okay to overcome if it's a parent and kid, but if it's two kids, then one kid's not going to enjoy that very much. But they're both good games. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy both of them, but I think that if I had to pick one and they do similar things, I would say that I enjoy Match Madness a good bit more. Well, thank you all so much for listening. And Faith, thank you so much for being here today.
I really loved it.
Woohoo! If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the games, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I totally get it. You can check out our website, thegametablepodcast.com, or shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. Or you can find Ian and I on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Join us next week as Ian and I have a very special episode where we get to interview Bezier Games head of marketing, Jay Bernardo. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
I love this podcast. Goodbye.
Toodles.